The following is a lecture entitled, Why is this the topmost knowledge? Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on July 22, 2012, at the Bhaktivedanta Manor in Aldenham, UK.
So, I am Sankarshan Das Adhikari. I wanted to welcome you all to this wonderful temple established by Srila Prabhupada. Today we are going to have a wonderful, wonderful look into the transcendental teachings of Lord Sri Krishna. Krishna's teachings are especially wonderful because Krishna is not an ordinary man. Krishna is actually God. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of everything. I mean, even London cannot exist except for Krishna manifesting it in himself. So to study his teachings is actually the very best education you could ever hope to receive anywhere, even go to Oxford or Cambridge, nothing like this. This is the topmost education. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Raja Vidya. This is the Raj of all Vidya, the king of all education. So, why, one might ask? Why does Krishna say that? Because when actually you understand this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, as confirmed in the Mundaka Upanishad, Yasmin Vyagate Evam Sarvam Vyagatam Bhavati. When you understand the Absolute Truth, Krishna, you understand everything. So, if you become expert in this knowledge of Krishna, then you become expert in everything, in every field. Psychology, history, geography, geometry, physics, particle analysis. In every field you become expert. Simply you understand Krishna. So this education we are giving you, actually it is the most important education. You cannot get this anywhere else except from a devotee of Krishna. You see. A scholar cannot give you. Even you go to a learned PhD in Sanskrit, he cannot give you this. Because Krishna says, Bhakto Sime Sakha Chaiti. Because you're my devotee, my friend. Therefore I'm revealing this knowledge to you. So if you actually want to understand that underlying truth of your existence, you have to understand Bhagavad Gita. And if you don't understand the underlying truth of your existence, I ask you, my dear ladies and gentlemen, if you do not understand the underlying truth of your existence, how could you possibly be happy? You may have some money, you may have a nice car, a nice apartment, a nice family, but how long will it last? Can you guarantee it will even last for another year? Can you guarantee that, any of you? We know how uncertain this material world is. At any moment, everything can be taken away by death. So can you be happy if you base your happiness on something which can be taken away at any minute? Can you be genuinely happy and peaceful in your mind if you do that? One may delude themselves into thinking so, oh wow, I got a new Mercedes. Wow. I'm cruising down the highway in my new Mercedes. Wow. But how long can you enjoy? And then kawam, an accident, finished. All the way to the junkyard. So this knowledge is very, very important then. With this knowledge, you actually reconnect with that self which is buried within you, actually. What you think is yourself is not yourself. It's the covering. It's the costume that you're wearing now in this particular act. What does Shakespeare say? life is but a stage, and the poor player struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is no more. So this is simply a costume you're wearing right now, ladies and gentlemen. This is a costume. American, Indian, Britisher, Gujarati, whatever it may be, you see. It is simply a covering, it's a costume, it's not you. It's not you. You are something different. And Bhagavad Gita will enlighten you what you actually are. You are actually an immortal being. Death cannot touch you. You are death-proof. Old age cannot touch you. Disease cannot touch you. No material misery can touch you because you are not of this material world. You are a spiritual being, qualitatively one with God. This you must understand. You are a spiritual being, qualitatively one with God. Now we are sleeping, that's all. We are dreaming, I am this, I am that, so many things. Simply a dream state. So, now we have to awaken from the dream. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, appearing in his most merciful form to bestow what no other avatar has ever given so easily, Krishna Prem. If you will simply chant the names of God, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. The result will be that self within you, that eternal spiritual being who is actually you, will awaken. I see. And you realize, I'm not this body. Here I was worried about getting sick, about getting old. I was worried about some terrorist blowing me up when I go on an airplane ride. But now I have nothing to worry about. It's like Prabhupada, one time he was on the airplane in Africa, South Africa. And sometimes there's like a pocket, like a vacuum or something in the air, and the plane just goes, phew. There's nothing to hold the plane up. So the plane just went, phew, or just dropped for so many feet, 1,000 feet, I don't know how far it went, but it was like dropping, phew, and then finally he was able to get some air again to give it a lift, you see. So my godbrother Pushita Krishna, he had the wonderful fortune of being traveling with Prabhupada on that plane. He was sitting in a different row, and he was completely terrified. You know, death, like we may be killed, it was a horrible thing. He felt that his stomach was in his head. That was the feeling, like his stomach was in his head. That's how intense it was. So he was completely shaken. Finally, the plane stabilized. He got up and he said, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, are you all right? Prabhupada, please, Hare Krishna. He said, we can die at any time. Completely transcendental, the whole thing, you see. Because Prabhupada was fully situated in his spiritual identity. He knew this is just a covering. You see, it's not a big deal. If the covering, you have to, just like you wear a kurta, you know. These kurtas, those who wear kurtas like this style here, like we get in Vrindavan, there's one problem with these kurtas. The pocket is the same level as the doorknob when you walk through a door. Maybe some of you have the same problem. You walk through the door and the doorknob, whoop, there went one kurta, finished. That happened to me. I was going at a retreat center in Australia, Govinda Valley. And sure enough, there's a little like a little thing to catch the doorknob. It caught my kurta, completely ruined it. So was I devastated? No. Throw it away. I got another kurta in my suitcase. No big deal, you see. But if I thought I am this kurta, and I got completely damaged and totally useless, I'd be absolutely devastated because I know I am not the kurta. There was no problem. So this body is like kurta, like an Indian shirt, that's all. It's like a kurta, that's all. Something we're wearing right now, that's okay. If it gets damaged, hey, if it gets useless, we have to pitch it, no big deal, just put another one, you see. So one who realizes that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and I'm his eternal servant, this is an eternal identity which is completely beyond your body. You can drop dead right now. It's not a big deal if you're Krishna conscious. Just like some devotee, you know, he's doing a service in the kitchen up until, you know, 7 o'clock, and then at 7 o'clock he comes into the temple room and leads the kirtan. So does he get devastated? He has to leave the kitchen and come to the temple room to lead a kirtan? No. It's my service, Prabhu. I'm doing this service from 6 till 7. From 7 to 7:30, I do this service in the temple room. No big deal. So for a devotee, death means, well, I'm going from cooking the offering to leading the kirtan. It's just like switching from one service to another. No big deal. This hour I was in this particular place doing this particular service, and now I'm switching over here to serve somewhere else. So for a devotee, one who is Krishna conscious, death is not a big deal. Because his happiness is not based on his temporary material body and his temporary material situation. I humbly request all you wonderful ladies and gentlemen here today, please do not base your sense of happiness on something temporary. Because if you do so, you can never find true happiness. You won't. It's not possible. It's like lying to yourself, you see. It doesn't work. Base it on your present bodily situation, your present family relationship. I'm not saying it's bad. Those things are not bad, but you have to see them in the proper light. That this is not my eternal identity. My eternal identity is I'm Krishna's servant. Make that your happiness. Make that the basis of your family life. That let us all together as a family awaken our Krishna consciousness together. You see. And then we can all go back to Godhead together and be with Krishna together. Our family will never be broken by death. But otherwise, if we're not Krishna conscious, the time of death, I go this way, you go that way. Who knows when we'll ever meet ever again, you see, by the laws of karma. But a family who practices Krishna consciousness together, they will recognize each other in Krishna loka also. Oh, there's my mother and father, there's my brother and sister. We're all back to Godhead with Krishna. Haribo. Is it? So practice Krishna consciousness. You see? Practice Krishna consciousness. Become serious about Krishna consciousness. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitamitam Uttamam Pachakshavagamam Dharmyam Shushukam Katamavyayam. Krishna says this knowledge is the king of education. It's the most secret of all secrets. It's the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion, and it is ecstatically performed. Susukam. So, what does that mean? It is the perfection of religion. You know, I've got my religion, you've got your religion, so many religions, and then we have wars with each other and kill each other in the name of religion. I don't like religion, many people say. Religion is the number one cause of war, many people say. So religion is bad, we must reject religion. When they formed the European Union, there was no religion whatsoever in the founding principles of the European Union. We don't want to make religion the center because religion is bad. That was the underlying assumption. You see. But that's not religion. People do not understand what is religion. Religion comes from the Latin word religio, which means to relink. Relig with God, you see. So if you actually reconnect with God, that is religion. If you go to the church, the temple, the synagogue, and the mosque, and you say, God, I really want a new Mercedes. God, I want a job. God, I want a husband. I want a wife. God, please bless my children. They can make good grades in school. You're not connecting with God. You're not connecting. This is less intelligent. When you were kids growing up in your house, and we have some kids here, do your children have, here's a young girl, do you have to ask your parents to feed you every day, my dear young girl? Do you say, Mommy and Dad, will you feed me today? Do you ever have to ask them? No, of course not. Where's your mother and father? Here? They love you. They're not going to say, well, maybe if you ask me, I might feed you. No. They're going to feed you because they love you, isn't it? They love you, so they feed you every day. They give you nice food. So in this way, the child doesn't have to ask the parents for the necessities of life. If a child says every day, Mother and Father, will you feed me? The child is mentally off balance, actually. There's something wrong psychologically with that child asking the parents every day for the food. So why do we have to ask God for the food? Dear, just like the Christians pray, I grew up as a Christian. Our Father who art in heaven, please give us this day our daily bread. I mean, do I have to say, God, please give me my daily chapatis? I mean, why, that's not love of God, that's love of bread. You see, you think God has to be asked? If a little child doesn't, this little girl doesn't ask her mother and father for the eatables, we have to ask God for the eatables? This mother and father, they don't have unlimited money. But still, they provide nicely for the daughter. But God has unlimited wealth. Lakshmi Devi, she is constantly massaging his lotus feet. God has to be, we have to ask God to feed us? Eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman. You know that slow? Katu panasya. That one supreme eternal, Krishna, he is supplying all the necessities of all the living entities. So why do we have to ask God to feed us? You see? So instead of, that is not religion. Instead of asking God that you feed me, we should go to God and say, my dear Lord, how can I serve you? You see? That is called pure bhakti. And what will be the result of approaching God in this mode of pure bhakti? The result will be God will give himself to you. To that, the proportion that you give yourself to God, God will give himself to you. And all your necessities will come automatically. Ananyashchintiyanto mam yejana paryupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogachemam vahamyam. 9:22 Bhagavad Gita. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. That's a pretty good deal. Krishna will give you whatever you need. He'll make sure all your needs are met, material and spiritual. But there's one condition. This applies to those who worship Krishna with exclusive devotion. Not, you know, give me this, give me that. That's not exclusive devotion. Exclusive devotion means, my dear Lord Krishna, now I fully surrender myself unto you. I am your puppet, you're the puppeteer, you can do whatever you want to with me. That's it. That's exclusive devotion, you see. So such a person has no anxiety in any condition because Krishna is always personally caring for that devotee and protecting him and supplying all his needs. So do you have to be a sannyasi to do that? No. Who is the perfect example of Bhagavad Gita? A householder. Arjuna, right? Yeah, Arjuna. That's right. Arjuna is not a sannyasi. He's not a brahmachari. He's a grihastha. And he is the perfect example of Krishna consciousness, pure bhakti. So either as a married man, a married woman, a single person, it doesn't matter what is your position in the society. If you will simply pray, my dear Lord Krishna, now I am your property. Please engage me in whatever way you see fit. then Krishna will personally take care of you at every moment from now on for all of eternity. You simply have to pray that way, and you have to mean it. And you have to live it. And I guarantee you, if you try this, you're going to be the most happy person you could ever be. You won't have anxiety ever again in your life. Completely free of anxiety. People spend thousands and millions of dollars going to psychologists, psychiatrists, all kinds of therapists are going to the tavern, the pub, somehow to get rid of the anxiety. You see? The soccer game, somehow to get the anxiety out of their brains. But no matter what they do, there's still an anxiety. Because the way they're going about it is completely wrong. If you want to cure the anxiety, don't treat the symptoms of the anxiety. You have to go to the root cause of the anxiety. And what is that root cause? Ignorance of the self. As long as you try to be happy on the basis of I am male, I am female, I am this body, no matter how much you may appear to be happy in that mode, that happiness will escape you. In the middle of the wisp, you see. It will escape you. But if you will focus on becoming happy by actually reviving your eternal identity as a servant of Krishna, you will achieve a happiness which is completely undisturbable by any material condition. Even the greatest calamities. I'll give you an example about Prabhupada. It was World War II. And those of you who may have studied the history, you know that the Japanese were attacking Calcutta during World War II. They were dropping bombs on Calcutta. So Prabhupada was taking his lunch prasad, and the bombs were falling. Prabhupada he imitated the sound. Chikam. So what's everybody doing? They're running for the bomb shelters. Japan, air raid, air raid, air raid, run for the shelters. The sirens are going off, everybody's running, and the bombs are falling. It's a very heavy, frightening experience. What is Prabhupada doing? He's honoring prasad. Would he run for the bomb? No, I'm not going to let anything disturb my prasad. This is I'm meditating on Krishna, the form of prasad. He is peacefully taking prasad. And he was hearing the bombs, Chikam. And he was thinking, oh, here is Krishna. Krishna says, Mrityu sarvaharashchaham. I am all devouring death. So now Krishna has come as a bomb to kill. And this is Krishna, this is Krishna. He's appreciating Krishna in the form of the bomb. While he honored his prasadam. So in this way, of course I'm not saying you should, you know, stand in front of a train or something like that. But I'm saying always take shelter of Krishna in all circumstances. Always take shelter of Krishna as your supreme perfect protector. Always take shelter of Krishna. And you will feel great peace and great happiness. Try to serve Krishna. Chant his names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Hear about Krishna. Talk about Krishna. Decorate your house with beautiful pictures of Krishna. You see. Read about Krishna. Serve Krishna. Make your whole life Krishna, 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 Krishna. Do you think Krishna is a myth? If you do, your thinking is a myth. Krishna is the most real thing in all of existence because all of existence depends on Krishna. This floor exists because Krishna is manifesting it from himself. This house, these grounds, this city, this country, this planet, this universe, all the conglomerated material universes of which there are unlimited millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions are simply existing by an insignificant portion of a portion of a portion of a portion of a portion of the energy of Krishna. So if you can connect with that person who is indeed the very source of everything, you're going to feel pretty good. You're going to have a good day every day, even when calamities come. Just like today, some really bad news came to me through the email last night. Very calamitous news. But I took shelter of Krishna. I took shelter of one of my godbrothers to reveal the difficulties that had hit me. You see, just humbly revealed to my godbrother, seeing him as Krishna's representative. And then what was the result? My feelings of dependence on Krishna became more strong. And I had the most amazing darshan of the deities this morning when I saw them in that mood of humbly taking shelter of my godbrother and looking at the deities. It was the most, I can't imagine how beautiful they were in that state. I wish they could always look that beautiful. So I was thinking, Krishna, please give me more troubles, more calamities, you see. Actually, Kunti Devi prays like that. Vipada shantata shashvat tatra tatra jagan guru bhavanam darshanam yashan apana bhavadarshanam. This is a very nice shloka in Bhagavatam. That beautiful, beautiful Bhagavatam. Kunti Devi says, you know what Kunti Devi went through? Horrible, horrible, horrible things. Here she is, a queen, accustomed to the palace life. And now she's living in the forest where there's so many man-eating demons, there's no proper bed. There's the palace of Shalak, the Duryodhana tried to murder them by tricking them. So many horrible, horrible, nightmarish conditions, one after another, after another. And then after 12 years, then they had to go into hiding for a whole other year and not be caught. Or they'd have to do another 12 years of exile. Can you imagine what a traumatic thing was for a palace woman who was used to living in the palace, to live like that in the forest? But it was all over, and Krishna was getting ready to leave for Dwarka. She said, please give me more of these calamities, my Lord. Because when I'm in these calamitous, dangerous situations, I can do nothing but taking complete shelter of you. And when I take shelter of you, I don't see birth and death anymore. I become free from birth and death. So a devotee actually welcomes all circumstances of life. The good ones, the bad ones, the beautiful ones, and the ugly ones. Because he sees how every single situation is an opportunity to take shelter of Krishna more and more and more and more and become more and more happy by strengthening his relationship with Krishna. Krishna is actually everywhere. There's nowhere where Krishna is not present, but yet, because we are covered by material consciousness, namely lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion and envy, kama, krodha, lobha, madha, moha, and matsarya. We are covered by these six material qualities. So we cannot see Krishna. We just see the material energy of Krishna in front of our eyes, you see. It's like a curtain blocking our darshan of Krishna. It's like we close the curtains, we can't have the darshan. Well, actually, the darshan is available everywhere, but the curtains of material consciousness have closed our eyes, so we cannot have the darshan. But actually, Krishna darshan is available. The pure devotee can have darshan at every minute, wherever he goes. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksa devahidayeshu valokayanti yang shama shundaramachim yagunasvarupam govindam adipurusham damaham vajami. For one who has anointed his eyes with the salve of love of God, he can see Krishna everywhere, every minute, within and without. So, simply we have to chant very nicely and always take prasad, Krishna prasad. If you will chant as much as possible, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and take Krishna prasad as much as possible, you see. Giving up all other types of eatables, only take prasad. You see? Then you'll have the most amazing awakening of divine consciousness within your heart. I'm not speaking some flowery words. I'm telling you a scientific fact. If you will regularly chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and you only take Krishna Prasad as your only foodstuff, you can offer your food at home. You see? If you will do these two things, you'll become spiritually perfect. And you'll be able to see God 24 hours a day. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you. It just seems that it takes a little time for this to manifest.
Yes.
It doesn't seem to be instantaneous. So, we have to have patience.
That's right. It will take time to awaken to your love of God. We have to have patience. So that just a comment? Is there a question?
Well, you said this morning that you can instantaneously feel, blissful, happy, but it doesn't necessarily seem to happen like that. So why is that?
Why does it? Yes, Prabhupada actually so we can get onto the transcendental platform immediately by taking up this process. But then why does it take so long? In one sense, you can immediately get on the transcendental platform. In another sense, it can take a whole lifetime to really become mature on the transcendental platform. That's a very excellent question. And the answer is that it's like a mango. You can go to the market and say, I'd like to have a ripened mango so we can offer to deities at home. Get a very nice ripened mango. You go to the market and all the mangoes are green. There's no ripened mango in the market, but you can get a green mango and bring it home. So you have the mango already, but now you have to let it ripen. So you can immediately get Krishna Bhakti solidly situated in your heart, immediately, by agreeing to chant the mala and give up sinful life, illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, and gambling. Immediately you can get Krishna Bhakti in your heart. But we're getting it in the green state in the beginning. So then we have to be patient. We have to continue chanting. There's different stages given by Rupa Goswami. Shraddha, Sadhusanga, Bhajana Kriya, Anartana Vitti, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, and Prem. There's different levels. And gradually one progresses. It's like in the university. I don't know what you have here in the UK. In the US we have sophomore, we have freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior for undergrads, and then you go to higher levels. So there's different steps. So one has to plug into the process and take it very faithfully. Step by step by step by step. The result will surely come. In fact, there's two stages of faith. Shraddha is called preliminary faith. But then the stage of nishtha, that is called firm faith. So there's a difference. Preliminary faith and firm faith. So in this way we should have faith in the beginning, commit ourselves to the process. We're considered as good as liberated as soon as we do that, but we're like junior level liberated people. Trainees. Paramahamsa trainees. Learning how to actually become a transcendentally situated person. Paramahamsa trainees. If you strictly follow the process, this request won't do any good, but I'm going to ask everybody to please listen and not talk. I'm requesting, please listen. Thank you. Doesn't hurt to ask at least one. Actually, it's very important that I know in Vrindavan the people come through in the morning, but they don't talk. They know not to talk. They have a system of also a similar thing. During the Bhagavatam class in Vrindavan, people come through, but they're very quiet. They don't make any sound. They take darshan very quietly. I'm sure that we can do that here. It may take a little time, but it can be done here too. Because one should be very respectful when the message of Krishna is being spoken. That is Krishna himself appearing in the form of Shabda Brahma, transcendental sound vibration. So one should be very respectful to that sound vibration. Krishna Katha is going on. The devotee is giving Bhagavad Katha, Krishna Katha. If one can be respectful to that recitation of Krishna consciousness, simply by that respectfulness, one will make spiritual advancement. If one is neglectful of that principle, they're actually, knowingly or unknowingly, they're making an opera. They're disturbing the class. They don't even realize it, but still, it's opera. So gradually people can learn. And by being very respectful to the Bhagavad Gita going on and not making any sounds, then they will make advancement just by being respectful. It's such an important principle not to make disturbance during the recitation of Krishna Gita. Well, actually, one time our Srila Prabhupada was tapped out. He was sitting in the lecture of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and one old man who was deaf like me was saying, "What is he saying? What is he saying?" He needed some help. He was missing out. And so Prabhupada was kindly trying to tell him what Guru Maharaj was saying. And Bhaktisiddhanta immediately stopped his lecture and chastised Prabhupada for talking during the lecture. And Prabhupada took that as to being directly scolded by Guru Maharaj, he took as the greatest blessing. The greatest blessing. So I think gradually everyone will learn. If we just remind people, gradually the word will get around. When you come into the temple room, they can even put a little sign up, you know, by the door. When you enter the temple room, there's a class going on, please be quiet. I think the talking's in the other room now anyway. No. But gradually people will learn if we very kindly and gently and in a very friendly way remind them from time to time. The word will get around, everybody will do that. So I can ask now if there's any other questions. All right, my young boy, what is your question? How does Krishna help us? Krishna helps us in so many wonderful, wonderful ways, materially and spiritually. Do you realize that you're breathing right now? You're breathing right now. You know Krishna's giving you the air? Now put your toy down and listen now, okay? Put your toy down and listen now. You ask me a question, now you hear with full attention. Krishna is giving you air that you're breathing right now. He's keeping you alive. Krishna is helping you materially by keeping your body alive, and Krishna is helping you spiritually by giving someone to tell you about Him. You have a Krishna conscious father, he's telling you about Krishna. Krishna has helped you by giving you a temple here you can come. He's giving you devotees who can tell you about Krishna. He's giving you a Krishna conscious father. He's giving you prasadam. Do you like prasadam? Oh, very good. He's giving you prasadam so you can be healthy and you become purified. So Krishna is helping you in so many ways. Now there's a question back here.
He's saying, what the guest give us the demigod prasadam, so what should we do?
If what? Oh, demigod prasadam. Actually, it's better to politely refuse. Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate your kindness. But in our Vaishnava, I so much appreciate your loving kindness. I'm filthy happy to see someone like you who cares about me so wonderfully. Thank you very much. If I can humbly explain to you, we have as Vaishnavas, we have a standard. We can only take Krishna prasad. Yeah, that's our standard. So I appreciate very much your loving compassion. And I have all respect. You can ask them, which demigod did you offer it to? And you can explain, oh yes, Lord Shiva is very wonderful. He's the greatest of all Vaishnavas. Whoever they're worshipping, you can appreciate that demigod. But then you can explain that we have a certain principle given in the Bhagavad Gita that we only take the prasad of Krishna. And so we can just politely say, thank you, but no thank you. In a very polite way. not a cruel, not a irritated, but a very sweet and polite way we can say no thank you. I appreciate your kindness, but I'm not able to do that because our Vaishnava principle is this. So our time has run out now. Okay, thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.